Planet FM is a platform that champions diversity. Not all our programs reflect the views of the station. We encourage you to consider a wide range of information from trusted sources when making decisions about your health.
I had been listening to quite a few people talking about sovereignty and sovereign movements, and there seemed to be quite a lot of people in New Zealand following this in different pockets of it. And I ended up learning about something called Practical Lawful Dissent, which is the movement I follow and basically, or am part of. It's a movement that uses lawful constitutional processes, and it helps if you really remove yourself from the propaganda of the government, educational institutions and media, and you relearn your common law. I have children, young children, 12 and 9, and I was deeply concerned that I could see exactly what was happening with the narrative, and I was deeply concerned about the vaccines that were being talked about without proper safety testing and efficacy, and I am determined that none of my family will fall foul of these medical treatments because they're not actually vaccines. Not only that, I feel very strongly that New Zealanders need to be able to have the choice. They have sovereignty over their own body. They should be able to choose whether they want to have the vaccine or not. Yeah, so it's about actually learning how to use a very ancient law process, the Magna Carta 1215, in particular Article 61, or some people like to call it Clause 61.
Hi, this is Bruce Lipton, and you're listening to Planet FM.
Kia ora, greetings, and welcome to Planet FM 104.6. I'm Tim Lynch, and I trust that you are doing well. I invite you to stay with me over the next hour as we discuss and find ways to take care of our unique and magnificent green planet Earth. In the studio today, I have Megan Osborne, who is here to share her insights and overview I intuitively know will ring a lot of bells in New Zealand today. It's about universal sovereignty and how we, as an independent human being, from the time we draw our first breath, we, say 50,000 years ago, were classified as a free being, one that could take in free air that was fresh, free, pure, fresh water, and eat from a food chain that would have been pristine and not affected by chemicals, etc. But cut to today, and we are finding out that we are an indentured being, that unknown to us all, there's a contract on us. And this came into force once the British put their flag, the Union Jack, onto our soils back in 1840. That unbeknown to us all, we New Zealanders are an extension of the City of London, and that New Zealand is a corporation of the City of London, and along with the Vatican in the centre of Italy, and Washington DC in the USA, we are part of an intricate arrangement that is now falling apart as it has been exposed to independent media as well as social media. So without any more wordiness, I say kia ora to you, Meg.
Kia ora.
Meg, fantastic that you'd be able to come today and share. And so, please, where did you come into all of this?
I realised very early on last year in lockdown one that things did not appear to be right, particularly with the COVID narrative. As a health professional, I realised that things weren't right, and you don't lock up healthy people. You protect the vulnerable. Things just didn't seem right. And after about 2 weeks into lockdown one, I turned off mainstream media, stopped listening, and got interested in politics for the first time in my entire life. I don't want to tell you how old I am.
You're a newbie.
I am very much a newbie with a lot to learn. And so after the election, I was deeply disappointed with the outcome, as I know a lot of New Zealanders were. I had been listening to quite a few people talking about sovereignty and sovereign movements, and there seemed to be quite a lot of people in New Zealand following this in different pockets of it. And I ended up learning about something called Practical Lawful Dissent, which is the movement I follow and basically, or am part of. It's a movement that uses lawful constitutional processes, and it helps if you really remove yourself from the propaganda of the government, educational institutions and media, and you relearn your common law.
Okay. And so at a recent function I went to up in Warkworth, at a private home, you gave a summary of what's happening to about 20 people. You gave an understanding to us that it became for you a very rapid learning. Could you expand on that?
Oh, yes, it was a very rapid learning. I have children, young children, 12 and 9, and I was deeply concerned that I could see exactly what was happening with the narrative. And I was deeply concerned about the vaccines that were being talked about without proper safety testing and efficacy. And I am determined that none of my family will fall foul of these medical treatments because they're not actually vaccines. Not only that, I feel very strongly that New Zealanders need to be able to have the choice. They have sovereignty over their own body. They should be able to choose whether they want to have the vaccine or not. And it's quite clear that our Prime Minister is really not allowing this to happen in certain areas with the Ministry of Defence and our MIQ staff. Yeah, so it's about actually learning how to use a very ancient law process, the Magna Carta 1215, in particular Article 61, or some people like to call it Clause 61. There is sort of a bit of a bone of contention about that. However, in the practical lawful dissent, we do use Article 61 mostly. So it became really important for me to learn about this ancient law. It's the highest law standing. It's our security clause. It provides us with a lawful way or remedy against tyrannical governments. At the time, it would have been also tyrannical heads of state they would have had to deal with. So the journey has really been learning or unlearning history, relearning it from a different perspective, and that really brings into constitutional lawful processes.
And so New Zealand has embraced this solely because we're an extension of the British. We are a colony, or we became a colony back in 1840, but there's lots of strings attached.
There really is. I think one of the things that I'd like to point out is, in terms of sovereign movements in New Zealand, it's probably the baby of a movement. I just actually want to mention that there's some very educated and knowledgeable sovereigns out there that are already doing really good stuff. I think that's really important for people to know. In itself, I did ask our mentor over in the UK, Jackie Phoenix, why was it that we had such a lot of sovereign movements and how come we didn't seem to be able to get everybody together to unite? And her answer was simply this: it is a lot of sovereign movements are for self, and practical lawful dissent is not for self. It's actually for the people to stand under and come together. And that's what I really identified with that, because I care deeply about New Zealand and I care deeply about the people of New Zealand. And we need to find a way to actually bring this all together, to stand together, not just as a separate sovereign. By all means, do that in peacetime, but we're not in peacetime. We're in war, and we really need to pull together. And so practical lawful dissent was something that was on my radar, and I joined and fully immersed myself in that particular movement from December onwards, December last year, and how I ended up being a bit more of a, not so much a figurehead, but someone that was driving it a little bit more in this country through our Facebook page, was Jackie Phoenix, who was getting crabby with the practical lawful dissent New Zealand Facebook group. She said, we're very slow in getting organised and it's not good enough, because at some point soon we are going to need to get together to actually fully stand under Article 61 and redress the current situation.
Yeah, thank you for that. This is really important for us. Service to self, that game is over. We are in a planetary situation where we all have to unite, unity consciousness. We need to be able to make sure that we have a future for all children. And the only way we're going to have it is with a future of love, is for us to combine globally. But let's talk about New Zealand at the moment, if that's okay.
Yeah, that's fine. So anyway, Jackie Phoenix got crabby and I put my hand up and said I would help drive it, knowing full well that I wasn't as experienced as some of our other members or other people around New Zealand. I did actually try and get someone else to do it that was more experienced, but nobody did. And so I'm quite active on our Facebook page, posting information or trying to get people together to do information evenings and get their oath to the barons signed so that they can stand under Article 61.
Good. Now, your Facebook page, how do they get it?
You search for PLD International New Zealand, And there's actually quite a few. We've got UK, Australia, Canada, Ireland, and South Africa. I think those are the groups that we've got, but obviously you will now win them. It's the main one here.
That's right. It's interesting how the British Empire is starting to wake up. Yes, so please carry on.
Yeah, so I have been starting to do talks with people to help them understand why it's important to take the oath.
Now, it's an oath.
Yes.
Is this oath to re-clarify your being in time and space?
Absolutely. When you take the oath to the barons, there's actually more to the history than that, because it actually comes back to how the Magna Carta was invoked in 2001. So there is actually history in relation to the oath that we haven't covered, and that's actually probably really an important thing to cover.
Please do. People have to know what the barons are, who they are.
Well, they all came about in 1215. King John at the time was pretty tyrannical, and he wasn't very nice, so the people petitioned 25 barons in the UK.
And these barons were taking care of shires throughout England, and they were the middlemen between the king and the peasants or serfs.
Well, they were also considered his peers. So when you petition, it had to be of, and get people to stand up against the head of state, it needed to be his peers. That's obviously the barons, because they're the next sort of
level.
Yes. next level. That's right. So the people petitioned the barons. The barons agreed, and they went off and basically had this charter set up that is a constitutional document that provides protection for the people, in particular clause Article 61. And King John signed it, and from there, the Magna Carta has never been repealed. I want that to be really clear, because people often say that the Magna Carta holds no relevance anymore, and I think that's really important to know. It was invoked 5 times. The first time was in 1216, then it was 1258, the 1500s, then the Glorious Revolution in 1688, and then the last time was very recently. It was 2001. It was invoked against Queen Elizabeth II. And that was done in relation to the Treaty of Nice, which was a very treasonous document, and it placed the Great Britain even further into the EU clutches. And there were many people in the UK that understood this to be true, and they went to the barons, because the title or the involvement with Magna Carta, that it's handed down through the generations. And if there's a baron that is no longer willing to do it, or for some reason they need to replace, they will search the kingdom for someone to take that place. So that's how the 25 barons still exist today. So back in 2001, they were petitioned, and they wrote a letter to the Queen, basically outlining the treasonous document, and that she would consider not providing royal assent for it, basically to stop or block this treaty from going ahead.
What's this to do with tying themselves more to the EU?
The EU, otherwise known as the United Nations as well.
Yes, and what happened, this would have possibly led to Brexit, getting out of the EU.
Well, Brexit's a trap again that I don't... It's one of those rabbit holes that I need to go down and learn some more about. But so the barons petitioned the Queen, and she replied on the 39th day of the 40th day time frame. It wasn't even her personally, it was one of her aides, and it was a very short letter that said the Queen continues to give it her closest attention, but she basically cannot stop the royal assent of this treaty from going ahead. So she admitted treason right then and there. And that is when the invocation of Article 61 should have then gone further, and the barons should have deposed the head of state. Okay, that's a big one. A lot of people really struggle with that. They really, really do, because it was quite hushed up, obviously, that, you know, criminals aren't going to incriminate themselves, so they don't really want us to know what's going on. So there was a very small news article about it. And not only should the Queen been stepped down as head of state, our governments should have been deposed of as well, and constitutional head of state and constitutional governments should have been brought into place. That's right. Now that's where we get to Jackie Phoenix, who is now over in the UK. She was a Canadian, and she actually saw the news report at the 11th hour, like something like 12 o'clock at night, reporting on the petition of the barons to the Queen, and she was like, this seems to be really important. And from there, that's where her knowledge base around practical lawful descent started. Well, she moved to the UK 2 years ago to really continue her fight and learning with David Robinson, who is the founder. Unfortunately, David passed away last November, and Jackie Phoenix has kept the movement going. And over in the UK, she's exceptionally active. She does a lot of redress tours around the country, educating people on the Magna Carta, its relevance today, the fact that it has not been repealed since 2001. So we are definitely dealing with imposter governments and imposter head of state.
Good. Okay. Those are big words you're saying at the moment, Meg, because what it means is that when we're born, can you tell us what happens when we're born?
Oh, now this is another rabbit hole that I have been learning about. That's quite a shock to the system. So
a quick analysis.
The Zeta Kivi Trust of 1666 was set up to register births, deaths and marriages. And from there, there's been a slow process of entrapping our children that are born into becoming dead, lost at sea. It's to do with birth certificate and you're registered as a corporation. So I'm fuzzy on this because this is all quite new to me, but it was a shock to the system to find out that I'm listed as a corporation, dead, lost at sea, through my birth certificate. Now, Tim, you might have a little bit more knowledge in and around that to help me with that.
I'm already overloaded with so much other subject matter. But I have done an interview with Dan Hugh Manson on the 1835 flag, and you can get that on greenplanetfm.com and also on YouTube. And also, I have another one here, and this was with Jacques Wendell, and this is about New Zealand being a corporation of the City of London. And if you go up to greenplanetfm.com, you'll be able to find enough data on those two particular interviews to start to consolidate your knowingness around what's happening. But yes,
I think that's a really important point, Tim, that people actually really need to spend just a little bit of time researching this. I think a really good start for people is to Google your meet your straw man, and you'll find that, well, actually DuckDuckGo, as you guys know.
Thank you.
DuckDuckGo.
Yeah.
Please use that. But your meet your straw man, anything, if you search for that, will come up on YouTube. And there's some fantastic, very short 10-minute interviews or podcasts, informational things that you can listen to that will really get you up to speed on that, because it's quite tough to understand that you actually are listed as a corporation.
Yes.
Really tough.
When you receive a, say, speeding ticket, you'll get a letter from the government and it'll all be in capital letters. And I always wondered, you know, why capital letters? When a business will write to me and I'll just have a capital T and a capital L and all the rest is lowercase. But no, from the government, they sent it as caps, all caps.
Yeah, well, that comes back to something called dog Latin.
Yes.
And that is all caps, I think, if I remember correctly, is it's a foreign language. And so they mix it in the document. And
so
that
coded language?
It's one that we recognise, funnily enough, but it is, I don't think it is recognised as English. And it's to do with corporation, corp being obviously body. You also notice that headstones are all written in capitals as well, so there's a dead person. And there is a lot more to that that I probably would defer to other people.
Thank you.
People's knowledge over, actually, Tim.
Okay. So, Meg, how can you hit a few balls out of the park now? What would you like to be able to say to our listening audience? Because this is very important what you're wanting to share, and we need to let people know that we humans here in this country, that we are part of some greater corporation. And we knew nothing about it. Mum and Dad knew nothing about it. Granddad and Grandma knew nothing about it, and it goes on.
Yeah, I think one of the things that I'd really like people to understand is that they can reclaim their living man and woman status back. And there's many different ways of doing that. And the pathway that I particularly have chosen is to take my oath of allegiance to the barons, which removes myself from my legal fiction. And what that means is that acts and statutes, that they, and rules and regulations, they are not laws, and I am not obliged to aid and abet them in agreeing or consenting to these acts, statutes, legislation. Okay, so my job now that I stand under Article 61 is to actually distress the regime by not complying, because it would be treasonous for me to do so. And treason holds a very high penalty still.
It does. So this is your self-determination.
Yeah, absolutely.
And your right to your beliefs and determine your own affairs. And if this has not been allowed, then the system, shall we say, is imposing itself on you.
Yes, without you realising it. And that's the very scary thing. So I think it was also really important to understand about common law, whatever pathway you choose in practical lawful descent. There are four tenets by which we effectively live our lives. And it's like any good human being. The first one is to cause no harm.
Thank you.
So you need, when you get approached by the police, there needs to be a victim for there to be a crime. So if you happen to be speeding a little bit, they have to, when the fine is, when they give you a fine for speeding or the demerit points, there's no victim involved at that point. So they really shouldn't be contracting with you because you're going about your business. Now, if you did actually hit and have an accident, by all means, that's when you would fall under the legal jurisdiction. The other things that are really important are cause no loss, keep the peace, and be honest in your agreements. So don't commit fraud in your agreements. So they're basic ways to live your life. And if you uphold those, you're doing pretty well. We have a really wonderful society, to be honest. And I actually have to coin something from a gentleman in the UK, William Keats, I think his name is. And I remember listening to one of his lectures, and he said, just think about this. If there were less laws or less rules, we would have more in common with each other. And I think that was a really, it was like a penny drop, because I thought, actually, yes, it does. It takes away judgment. It takes away quite a lot of us and them. And I thought that was really important. Less rules and acts and statutes. We would have more in common with each other.
Very important for us. I know three policemen, and it's all cordial, always cordial when I communicate with them, because in many ways, because they're males, I see them as brothers, and they're on one situation and I'm in another, but essentially what we want is a peaceful outcome.
Ah, yes, and that leads me to another very important point. So a lot of people seem to think that we're rebels, standing in sovereignty. And I guess this would go for some of our other sovereign movements that probably identify this with people think you're rebels. Well, you're not actually. You are, I mean, a rebel is somebody who acts against lawful authority of a nation or society. And the thing about practical lawful descent is that we're acting strictly in accordance with the highest law in the land under common law. And as a result, that means we shouldn't be claimed or can't be claimed as rebels or outlaws, because we are actually following an evidenced constitutional lawful process. I think it's really important for people to understand that there is a process that you need to go through with this. So we've spoken about the oath quite a lot, and the fact that it removes the presumption that you're your legal fiction, which I encourage people to learn more about because we don't really have time to fully go into that. And that you are not compelled to stand under the legislative governance. So once you've taken your oath to the barons, there are two different pathways. If there's no demand being made upon you, so i.e. No fines or things of that nature, you follow the process for no demands. And it's very important that you do this, because it actually provides the courts and the cops with your lawful standing. And these guys are the ones where we struggle a lot to get justice from, because it is, I'd want to say, it's not all of them are corrupt, but it's stacked against you is probably the better term for this, because we know there are good guys around. So, but generally, courts and cops, it's stacked against us. So you need to make sure that your local police and your courts understand that if they go to your house, your lawful standing, they already know where you are, where you're standing under your sovereignty. So there are five notices: notice of lawful objection and standing in law. You send that to your courts and cops.
Policemen.
The policemen, yes. And then you wait 10 days. Then you send a notice of default, an opportunity for them to cure. Then you send 10 days later a notice of default, because they won't have got back to you at that point. And then, again, another 10 days, notice of coercion to aid and abet high treason. So these guys often knowingly or unknowingly realise that there is high treason that they're committing against the people, and then a notice to stop. Okay, so that is the process for courts and cops, and that will give your position in common law and the constitutional process of lawful descent. If you do have a demand placed upon you, it's really important that you don't fall into dishonour with the demand being placed upon you. So you must respond. And you do that with a notice of conditional acceptance. And with that notice of conditional acceptance, with the process of for demands, the first one is the notice of conditional acceptance. So you mustn't fall into dishonour with a demand that's placed upon you, because we are following common law, so we must be truthful in our agreements. And so that's a very important part. After that, you then wait 10 days. If they've not responded to you, there's a notice of default, an opportunity to cure. So then the process then starts down the same as it was for no demands. So wait 10 days, then you send notice of default, wait 10 days, notice of coercion to aid in a bit high treason, and then 10 days notice to stop. So that's how you manage courts and cops, and that's how you manage process for demands being placed upon you. And then after you've done those processes, say for example, there's no demands placed upon you, you don't need to worry about that part of it, it's very important for you to put the councils on notice, because our councils are behaving very treasonously against their people with their agreements that we've never ever known about.
Quickly, what are they?
Well, we'll go into it very, very quickly.
Yes.
But our mayor, Phil Goff, here is signed up to Danable Cities, otherwise known as ICLEI. And the ICLEI stands for International Council for Local and Environmental Initiatives. And that is a UN agency that provides services for creating your green / smart cities. And there is a lot of training that goes involved in how to manage meetings to get the best, as in what they want out of meetings. There's something called the Delphi technique that's used within these meetings, but that's again, something to discuss another time. It's really stacked. Even our councils are stacked against us, never mind courts and cots, but our councils are stacked against us. We don't have a say anymore about what really goes on. And there'll be a portion of our rate-paying money that goes towards these agreements that we don't know anything about. And if anyone wants to do an official information act on that, that would be fantastic.
Yes, because this is where they're wanting to fluoridate all water across New Zealand in every town and city. And then also they're chlorinating the water as well. And there are many, many other issues.
That should really fall under the crime against humanity to fluoridate what we know now about fluoridation. I mean, there's been court cases over in America that have been won because of fluoride.
Yes. Yes. So please, and can we
wrap that up?
Yes.
Yep. So that's essentially the process. All these documents are found on the Facebook page, so you can find them there. You do need to have the capacity to have a computer to print them off, I would recommend, definitely. But there's so much information on there. There's so much information on there that you're kind of like almost a little over stimulated with it all, because there is truckloads to go through. But it is set out in the guide section, and you just have to give yourself some time to go through the process. And I'm always contactable via the Facebook group. You'll see me on there. And our other admins are always really good for giving you help with this process.
Excellent. And there's a template there that they can get from you?
Yes, there are. They can email me or message me on Facebook, and I can send them a folder with all of the templates and instructions on how to do that. You just need to be able to unzip the files. And I would recommend, again, if you've got access to a computer, it's much easier to do than on your phone.
So you would send this particular template, one, to your local council and also your local police station, is that right?
So it's the three C's. It's courts, cops and councils are really important. And then after that, you can go after anyone that you would like to go after. So you could put the Prime Minister. I mean, she's already been put on notice so many times, it's, you know, really unreal. So you've got Hipkins, I don't know who, anyone else. You put the CEO for Watercare on notice.
The Governor General?
The Governor General, yep, your Attorney General. Anybody that, who's our Minister for Social Justice, is it? Is that the Minister of Social Justice, Chris Farfoy? You can put him on notice. You can put the Minister of Education. Absolutely anybody. You could even put the manager of your mum's rest home on notice for, if she didn't, or mum or dad for that matter, if they didn't want to take the vaccine and they started being coerced into it, or they were then losing some of their privileges within the rest homes. You can put anyone on notice. You could even put your principal on notice at schools.
Because I know in some schools the children can get the jab at school and not know their rights, and then they go home and tell their parents. And I've known of situations where the parents have been really upset.
Yeah, I know. That's an awful thing. I mean, you can obviously go down and removal of implied rights for loco parentis or something like that, I think it's called. So there are some templates around for that particular type of notice. It's a bit more specific.
Yes. Okay. Well, this is good. This is good information. So what we're talking about really is getting people to become self-determined.
Absolutely. And one other thing just before, while I remember on the process for no demands or any of the notices that you sent, sorry, it's really important that you keep the copy of everything that you do. And the reason why is because that forms evidence. So if you have no evidence, we've got nothing to try these people with.
That's right. So you're doing hard copy as well, run off a print, not just leave it in your computer.
No, you need the signatures because all of them need to be signed. Yeah, your notices need to be signed, witnessed by three good people over the age of 18 with no criminal record. And so that can also prove a little bit of difficulty for some folks because people often get a bit shy about signing a document. They think they're involved, but all it is actually just witnessing your signature to say you are who you are.
Yes.
So we actually sometimes get organised and have signing parties, not so much signing parties, signing get-togethers.
That's good.
Yeah, where we'll sign people's documents.
Well, I think this is really important, listeners. I would like to think in Dunedin and Queenstown and Timaru and Christchurch and Blenheim and Nelson, Wellington, Napier, New Plymouth, Taupo, Hamilton, Tauranga, there are groups of people coming together, working on finding out what this is, because what we're here to do is we're uncovering something that we knew nothing about. It's a big, huge jigsaw puzzle. And because we didn't know that this was happening, now all of a sudden we're alive to the fact that there's another game going on and we are basically the playthings of this greater game. And this is not on. This is not right. We are independent beings. I mean, I can understand the righteousness of wanting to stand up and say, hey, come on, because the Aussies are doing it, the Canadians and the Brits, and there are many other people in the Commonwealth.
Absolutely.
Realising this, and sovereignty is it's our heartfelt commitment to creation and also our children. So we need to be able to get up to speed and fast.
Yeah, we really do. We can't wait. We have to get going.
And it comes down to our choice. We want to always have a freedom of choice. And not only that, when I talk of freedom, freedom is the greatest discipline we can have. It's not just freedom to go and do everything we want or desire. Freedom is something there that we have to be very disciplined about.
Mm.
We just can't do what we want. We have to be able to be mindful of other people and first do no harm.
Yes, first do no. Yeah, I think it's really important for people to realise there has been a major psych op happening. Tell a vision, all these things that Netflix, all these cheap things where you can watch loads of
rubbish.
That's
yes.
Right. I mean, maybe that's why I wasn't affected so much because I don't, even though we watched a little bit of mainstream TV just through the news when the COVID first hit, but as a rule, our family really does not watch a lot of TV anyway. So perhaps that's why I wasn't indoctrinated quite the same way. But you really have to start thinking about what it is that you want for your life, for your children's lives and for theirs and for the rest of the world. It's actually not just us. And that's what I love about this Practical Lawful Dissent movement is for the people. And it always was.
Yes, well, this is it. 7.8 billion souls sharing breath at this moment. This is what we're standing up for.
Absolutely.
Our next door neighbour.
Yep, definitely.
I'm speaking with Meg Osborne around self-determination and sovereignty, including the rule of law. This is really important for us because we're actually finding out a whole lot of truths that we did not know. We are uncovering a hidden secret and we've got to wake up fast. So, Meg, in going out into the public arena talking to people, what are people coming back to you and what questions are they concerned about?
Oh, it's quite an interesting one because there's quite a few people who are still sleepy over things.
Huge number, regrettably. Gigantic number.
Well, I think it seems to be Auckland. A lot of people from around New Zealand seem to be awake. Auckland seems to be definitely really quite sleepy over things. And they often are quite incredulous about, and there's a denial, there's an absolute denial that our government could possibly be tyrannical and be wanting to control us in such a way. So I find that very challenging. I would say I've probably lost friends over this because of my, the fact that I was so, I couldn't believe that we were in such a fight for our lives and for our rights and freedoms that have been removed. I remember making a submission about the COVID Public Health Response Act. And one of my friends saying, oh, but she'll never use those clauses. And unfortunately, they had every intention of using those clauses because why else would they be written into a document like this? And absolutely, that document is unlawful and it shouldn't stand. And people need to realise that it is an unlawful document. And when you are removed yourself from your legal fiction and you stand in your oath to the Barons legislative nonsense like that, you are not obliged to obey these rules and regulations. They're not laws.
So you have people come up and ask you questions. What are some of the questions that they ask you that you feel that they need more understanding of? Because it's a lot to contain in your memory, and they're walking away thinking, gosh, a lot of people have written notes, but still.
Yeah, I think I probably find it difficult to contain it in my own brain as well, Tim. There is a lot. I think when people finally take the plunge into the oath and the notice process, I think that's where they find things the most difficult, to be fair. A lot of people who are taking their oath are already awake, so that side of things is not difficult. But the notice process is probably more tricky when they get onto the Facebook page and they go into the guide section, the guide tab at the top. Yeah, there's some discrepancy between the notice process, the notices and the examples that are given because they're UK-based, and so they might use slightly different terms for police than we use. And then I think we use registrar for the courts here rather than, I can't quite remember what the UK term was. So little things like that which take a bit of time, you can work it out, definitely work it out yourself, because I have to admit that once I got through that process, the first process of it, everything's become much easier.
Yes.
It really does. It's quite a simple process once you understand what you're doing, but it's really just taking that time, a couple of hours, get everything printed, your first notice is printed in your example. I just put that on the computer screen and then just worked it through from there.
Thank you. Now, can I just get back to the Barons? Because are these Barons, are some of them in the House of Lords? Have they, a lot of them got knighthoods? Have they Sir so-and-so and so-and-so? Because the initial, when I looked at the Magna Carta, the initial Barons all had French-sounding names, and this came as a result of William the Conqueror, who came over to Britain and bet the English.
Yeah, I actually haven't looked at the Barons, because there's one we have, actually this is quite important too, actually Tim, thank you. The Barons, there's 25 of them, and there was one Baron that was accepting the oaths, and that was Lord Craigmile, and apparently he has stopped accepting, so this is actually really very important. So instead of sending your oath to the Baron, you can actually send an oath to self, and that's quite crucial that you understand that you don't have to send it to the Barons. You can send the same oath, it's exactly the same, but you just, rather than whiz it off to Scotland, you put it in an envelope and send it recorded delivery to yourself. You keep a copy of your oath, and then you don't open the oath when it's arrived to you. You keep it sealed in its envelope.
Is it a registered letter?
Yeah, it has to be a registered letter that you send your oath to self, which will save you about, thinking, $40-odd dollars, because it's $50 to send them to Scotland. So it's just as well we stopped sending them. But the reason why we were encouraged to send them to Scotland is because it shows true intent to stand under Article 61.
Yes, well, the Scots at the moment are working hard on becoming independent of Britain too. So that's another big one that's in the game. Now, tell me, can I ask a little bit about the Declaration of Independence of New Zealand Māori in 1835? Because this is, hei whakapūtanga, o te rangatiratanga, o nu tarini. This is this flag that they struck in 1835. And
I went to a talk on sovereignty just last Friday by Marcus de Pavelli, and he has been looking at this sovereignty issue for over 40 years.
And
I've been talking to him to the degree that I'm going to have him speak to us most probably in a month's time. And with your assistance today, Meg, we're giving a heads up and getting people ready and allowing them to start looking deeply at this whole question of sovereignty and being an independent being who still is a loving, honest human being doing their best to live in harmony with all our neighbours. And so, do you know much about the Māori independence movement from that standpoint, going back to 1885?
This is quite... No, I didn't until last year, learning about Hei Whakaputanga through Billy Tikahika and his podcast.
Yes.
Around about November time. So I haven't caught up with that. I have done some reading around Hei Whakaputanga, and the problem with Hei Whakaputanga, and there will be far more knowledgeable people around this, one of the things that comes out of the Magna Carta is you've got to remember that it is the oldest law, highest, oldest law there is to protect the people of the Commonwealth. That includes everybody. So there's no kind of distinction between indigenous people.
That's right.
It protects absolutely everybody. It predates Parliament. So that means Parliament is a fictional construct, really, isn't it? And something that is fictional should not really preside over that which is real. So, yes, that's across to bear, isn't it, that with Parliament. So the agreements that are made through treaties and the like are technically, and again, I don't want to cause any angst or upset, but this is knowledge that's passed down from Jackie Phoenix to us, looking at these things, they are null and void because they are, by the very nature of them, they are treasonous. They're often based on the Magna Carta. Our constitutions are written around the world are based on Magna Carta. And we have spoken about Hei Whakaputanga, so I'm not really quite sure how, because it has come up plenty of times with me. And just a couple of weeks ago, she did say, so I don't know how deeply she's looked at it, but she said the problem with these treaties is that there is no security clause that is written into them. So they say all these lovely things, but there is no remedy for the people to redress tyrannical situations, and that's the difference. So I'm very happy for people to educate me further on that. I don't mind at all. And it sounds like your guy Marcel, I've had a quick look at his website, he sounds like he'd be a great person to talk to us about that.
He will be. What I like about him, he's straight up and down, very transparent, very honest. He just, all he wants to do is educate us, and he wants to educate no matter who. It means all the people in government, because we're just human beings, because they're trapped in the system too, and they don't even know it.
They don't, and I'd just like to reiterate, that's a really good point too, Tim, because, you know, you talk about education and there's so much of this stuff that we don't know, and it's very, very true, because I think it started to be written out of our education in about the 1950s. They stopped teaching us about the Magna Carta in such a fashion and common law and our lawful rights. And I think that's a really important thing to remember. My mum, who's 83, can remember being taught Magna Carta at school. I've got a friend in her 70s who can remember a little bit about it. And then after that, just about anybody can remember being fully educated on what Magna Carta, the significance of it, and also common law.
Yes, well, this is a theme that's coming up time and time again now, is the fact that our education system is dumbing us down. And in the preface to this, I talked about that universities are destroying knowledge. Well, the curriculum today is becoming...
sanitised.
Pardon?
Sanitised.
Sanitised, yes, that's the best word for it.
It is.
And so it's imperative, and I use this word imperative a lot now because of the importance of us, really, to get in and get our eyes off our TV. Don't spend any time. I don't watch the news. The news to me now is time wasted. There may be one or two things, but I can hear from other people if it's really important, and social media will help me and alternative media. So the imperative is to get educated and fast, because things are going to happen very rapidly soon, and a lot of people are going to be caught out because they haven't prepared themselves. If you're not prepared, if you haven't been thinking through these things, then you're going to be caught in the wash of all this, and you will be totally at a loss.
It's actually important to know too that at some point the redress for Article 61 is, there's a couple of different things that are involved with that. The first one is really involving seizing public buildings. You've got evidence collected via your notice process, and we are looking to hopefully restore jury nullification and a jury by your peers. I mean, this is stuff that we're going to work towards from a Commonwealth perspective. So these are the talks that Jackie Phoenix is doing over there in relation to having a Commonwealth push. So it's not just an individual country trying to stand up against tyranny. It would be an international redress process involving thousands and thousands and thousands of people who have stood under Article 61 and learnt they need to learn about becoming free.
Yes, yes. Well, I think there's going to be a lot of people who are interested in this for the first time, Meg. A lot of listeners will think, oh gosh, we have been listed as chattels. Essentially, that's what we are.
That's right.
We've been chattels. And the greater system further up the pyramid of power, they're making money off us, and we don't know anything about that because everything is compartmentalised the further you go up through the system. Banks are compartmentalised. When I went into the bank this morning, I was treated so warmly and etc. And they wish me a wonderful day too. But when you go further on up the bank, you find out what they're doing with all this money and etc.
Yeah.
And so, yes. So, look, I just want to drop this in now before I forget. There's one thing there for Marcellus de Pavale is www.universalsovereign.nz. Universalsovereign.nz. And when you have a look at that, talk it with your neighbours. Talk it with your family. Because we're all chattels.
Yeah, don't be frightened to talk about it and learn about it either. I have to say, guys, really don't be frightened. It is difficult because people are so incredulous about the fact that we actually have a way to secure our sovereignty and rights and freedoms through the Magna Carta, and the fact that our education has been so poor over this. So it is just so important to educate yourself and educate everyone else around you, because through education we can hopefully unite together. I think I need to meet Marcel. Is it Marcel?
Yeah, Marcel. Yeah, very good. Yeah, because I want to meet him yet again because there's so much information. One of the things that I mentioned, that Marcel mentioned the other day, was the cantons in Switzerland. They're far more independent today than we are. They're not tied in to this. The cantons, all the villages, they are sort of self-sustaining entities, and they vote on things all the time. They're a very, very powerful example of what's happening in the world. They're independent. So, and this is why Switzerland is classified as a neutral country. Where all the Nazis...
but is it really?
Where all the Nazis put all their gold.
Yeah, I was about to say, I think Switzerland's not so neutral after all.
But look, keeps them neutral, that because they deal both sides of the ledger. It's a very, very interesting situation that's happening over there,
yes.
I can assure you. So we need to know all about the law, the rule of law, and what is self-determination, and the rights to have our own beliefs and determine our own affairs, and being righteous. But honesty is really the whole game plan with this.
Yeah, I think probably what I'd really like to do is just to sum up what the Magna Carta is. It's really affirm the right of the people to such things as trial by jury nullification, protection from excessive fines, protection from unlawful governance and unconstitutional governments. So I think it's really important that you really understand that this Magna Carta, it is powerful, and we just need to learn how to use it. And I do think it's absolutely fine in peacetime to fight for your sovereignty on a personal level, and you can use whatever process you like for that. There's no issue. There's so many wonderful sovereigns around with so much knowledge. But I really think the time has come that we really need to unite together and bring about real change, and that's what we desperately need. So somehow, some way, we've got to get people who, with all their knowledge, to actually say, yep, it's okay, this is the pathway which we can proceed down, that everyone's going to be happy, because at the end, the result is that we want to have change, and we can't do that individually.
That's right. United we stand, divided we fall. And this reminds me, and I've said it a few times, is that when New Zealand became a nuclear-free country, I was involved very much with this whole process. I wasn't a big player or anything like that, but I was in there with a whole group of many players. And that goes way back to when I happened to be on the Rainbow Warrior 36 hours before it was bombed and sunk. A lot came out of that. But New Zealand became a nuclear-free country, Meg, because lots of groups happened all over the country, and they then went to councils, and they got the councils to pass a bylaw that stated that they were a nuclear-free council or a nuclear-free region. And then once there happened to be, I think, around about 107 nuclear-free regions or councils or districts or towns and even cities in New Zealand, once we reached 107, it happened to be about 67% of the country. So it gave the Prime Minister the mandate to then make New Zealand a nuclear-free country. That was at that particular stage in law. So what we need to do is have all our groups in New Zealand coming together like we did in the early stages of nuclear-free New Zealand, and then have an umbrella of them for them to be able to, in one voice.
We the people.
We the people.
We the people have the power.
That's right. And it's when we network this, when we share, when we have people coming over for lunch, for dinner, when we're having afternoon tea, a few beers after the game. Please, sports people, get with the program. It's more than a game. It's your future. It's your reality. And it's tomorrow's children's world that we're going into. So, yes, Meg.
Okay, I think my final thing about practical lawful descent and our chance to take our country back, or in fact the Commonwealth back for the people, and we really must restore the rule of law within our legislative system, our judiciary system, and our executive, which is the police and enforcement system. We really must restore the rule of law, and these people need to relearn what constitutional lawful processes are.
That's right. Well, we can just share it with them. I know that people are sharing particularly the COVID information with the police. And the police are having to look at all this and think, gosh, they're the meat in the sandwich at many levels.
They are.
And they're having to work with their own conscience. And it's difficult for them, but this is a situation. We are in an unprecedented situation on this planet at this particular time. Never did we think that it would come to this. But we are now having to stand in our truth. And we have to speak truth to power. Truth to power.
I like that.
Keep in our heart. That's the one big one.
Keep your frequency and your vibration high.
Keep our vibration very high.
Absolutely.
Keep making sure of doing our inner work. Our inner work is right thought, right word, right action all the time. And making sure that we have a clean, we're breathing pure air, we're drinking clean, unsanitized water, we're eating organic food, and we don't have toxic relationships either.
No.
Yes, it's very important. Our whole thought process has to be, we're right here, we're being present in this moment to love the future as it comes upon us.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Amen to that.
Amen. And your last thing that I want to say, with the talks that you've been to, what has been the common vibe? I mean, everybody applauded you when I was there. Do you come away completely fulfilled, standing 3 metres tall?
Well, I have to say, talking in front of people is definitely easier than doing a radio interview, Tim. I think it's just so wonderful to see people embrace the information. I think that's really the key. They can ask me some really curly questions, and that's a good challenge for me and test my knowledge base, and it will also help me get better. Because this movement is probably, as I say, in its infancy, it's a little tricky. People do come with some curlier demands that have been made upon them. And we haven't really, there's not a cohort of people that have followed the 5-step process through in New Zealand that I know of that have used it, that have come forward to tell me that they've got that experience so that we can draw upon that. So if anyone listening out there has actually used practical lawful dissent in such a way, it'd be really good. It is very successful over in the UK for a number of different things that they've used it against. But like anything, as the regime start to see where their weaknesses lie, they start to get a bit tougher on these processes and they push back. So it's really important to understand that you need to stay strong when you're doing this and just keep asking questions, because you can also access the Practical Lawful Dissent International Facebook page and post questions there, and you will definitely get an answer from one of our more experienced team members on what process to do. I think at the end of the day, if you can stay out of the courts, that's the best place for you. You're not entering into their jurisdiction. And I think, yeah, so that's sort of what I find. I find people come away feeling really pleased that they've got a way to protect themselves and their children up to the age of 18. Will stand underneath their umbrella. And we do talk about redress and the fact that the asset stripping and the gallows still remains today for anyone that is found guilty of treason, high treason and sedition. And on that note, this is how scared Tony Blair was back in 2001. He did try and change the death penalty, tried to remove it from the Treason Act. So yeah, he obviously knew.
Yeah, well, that's right. Well, unfortunately, he's caused so much karma and he's having to face the future that I would not want. Whew. Yes, and so, well, look, in New Zealand, let's see if we can educate someone in Parliament. Who's going to be the first parliamentarian to cross the floor and actually vote against the government?
Well,
that will start the ball rolling. And I wonder which party it will, because you can never tell which party it might be. And also, if you belong to a political party, take this knowledge to your party meetings and share it. This way we can infiltrate the system and grow flowers.
You would absolutely hope. But I'd just like to remind you, Tim, that Practical Lawful Dissent is for we the people. Politics actually should not come into this at all. As one of the things Jackie Phoenix said to me when I put up my hand to try and drive things forward, she said, where's your political leanings? I was like, well, I was involved here. She's like, that's it. You cannot be involved at a political level, because this is for we the people. It is about the people, not politics, and they don't mix.
Okay. I've never been to Parliament. I've always swerved around it. Okay, well, look, thank you so much, Meg, for coming here. Wonderful information. And this be the change that we've always wanted.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, Tim.
Thank you. That was Meg Osborne, and you can find her on Facebook page PLD International New Zealand. PLD International New Zealand Facebook. Decide to network. Use every letter you write, every conversation you have, every meeting you attend, every email you send, and remember, even Facebook, to tweet and to express your fundamental beliefs and dreams. Affirm to others the vision of the world you want. Network through thought. Network through action. Network through love. Network through the spirit. You are the center of a network. You are the center of the world. You are a free, immensely powerful source of life and goodness. Affirm it, spread it, radiate it. Think day and night about it, and you will see a miracle happen. The greatness of your own life in a world of big powers, media and monopolies. But of 7.8 billion individuals, networking is the new freedom, the new democracy, a new transparency, and a new form of wholeness and happiness. This originated by Dr. Robert Muller, Chancellor of the World Peace University in Costa Rica, Central America. I invite you to be able to come to greenplanetfm.com, where we have over 500 interviews in our database, which you can readily download and listen to be able to inspire yourself to become the change you want to see in the world. And become involved in caring for your children and grandchildren's future. We are also on Facebook,
on Green Planet FM and ourplanet.org. Please come and love us. This is Tim Lynch in the spirit of Aroha, wishing you a wonderful week. We look forward to being with you next week. I say kia kaha and haere rā.